I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And I'm JT Timmons.
And today we do have a ghost mail for y'all, but we are starting out on a little bit more of a somber note. Unfortunately, we just recently, a couple days ago, got the news that one of our para junkies, Ryan Stotler, passed away at the very young age of 33. And Ryan has sent us in a ton of different ghost stories and things. She had a very haunted life, if you will, a very paranormally enthusiastic life. And so her sister reached out to us and gave us the news and let us know how much she enjoyed the podcast and enjoyed sharing her stories, which was very touching, but it's very sad. We decided, though, it felt appropriate to dedicate today's ghost mail episode to her and her life. We have a little memoriam slide that we'll put up on the screen, but we do want to start out the episode with 15 seconds of silence in honor of Ryan and her life. And that was taken way too soon. So, JT, if you want to put the memoriam up and then give us the go. All right. Thank you guys for taking that second with us. And we definitely do want to say our condolences to Ryan's family and that we are sending our thoughts to you and love in this time, because losing a loved one, especially very early in life, is challenging. And I could not imagine what you guys are going through. And thank you to Ryan's sister for letting us know and reaching out to us. We, again, send our condolences and hope you are healing and on a journey of healing, at least. And thank you for thinking of us, at least. So we appreciate your family. But we wanted to start out today's episode by reading Ryan's first ghost mail that she sent in. Some of you who have been listening for a while might recognize the story because it was definitely a wild one.
Yes, it was.
So, it's very fun and very exciting to re-dive into this. And hopefully if Ryan's sister is listening to this episode, that she'll maybe give us some more insight if
Something. Send in a ghost mail.
Yeah, send in a ghost mail. But so we'll start out with Ryan's at the top of this. So Ryan started with, "Hey, Madison, Chris, and JT, I love y'all's podcast so much, especially when Chris gets to talking about doppelgangers." I mean, a truly classic topic. My name is Ryan. I'm a girl just for reference. Ahaha. I'm 33 and have seen things since I was about 5. That's my earliest memory. And I won't share that story this time, but I will send another email and tell y'all about it. My story starts in November of 2011. My sister, her boyfriend, and I all watched The Haunting of Emily Rose, a horrifying movie. a very good movie, but very scary. And after the movie, I decided it was time for bed. Scary movies are my favorite. So some backstory, I had a Diet Pepsi can sitting on my TV stand in my room for weeks, and I always slept with my ceiling fan on full blast, and no vent hit the TV stand when the air was on. So I go to my room and I lay down and I'm on my phone and I happen to look to my left where my TV stand is and notice the soda can rocking side to side. Again, I've seen things from a young age, but this was different. the feeling I got was off. So me being me wanted proof of this and tried to take a video with my phone, but my phone wouldn't record. That sent off red flags, and the feelings I got amplified. So I decided to pray, but I'm guessing my faith wasn't stronger than whatever this thing was. So I got up and slept in the living room. The next morning, things were fine, but this wasn't the end of the journey. I never saw in my house, but I always felt it. I continued praying and told it wasn't allowed to be there in the name of Jesus Christ, and that got it out of the house, but it didn't leave me alone completely. I could get it passing back and forth, or I could feel it passing back and forth outside my bedroom window. Well, at the time, I worked at a truck stop about 30 minutes outside of Bakersfield, California, and was working 4 p.m. to 12 a.m. My mom said would take me to my supervisor's house, and my supervisor would bring me back into town to a Costco, and my mom would pick me up. I told my supervisor about what was going on, and she was spiritual and helped me with my faith. One night, we got into town, and we parked in the Costco parking lot about a football field's length away from a dumpster, and it was about 12:45 a.m. We sat and talked, waiting on my mom to get there, and I happened to look up at the dumpster and saw what looked like a decaying werewolf. I'm sure a lot of y'all who have been listening for a while, that ringed a, yes. a memory in. That's the closest description to what I saw. The wall around the dumpster was only about 4 feet tall, and this thing was so tall, even crouched down, it was a foot taller than the wall. As I mentioned, my supervisor was spiritual, so I asked her if she could see it, and she could. When my mom got there, this thing watched me walk around the car and get into the passenger Ooh. Seat. And just to make sure I wasn't going crazy, I asked my mom if she could see it, and of course she couldn't, but she's not a very open-minded person. That was the one and only time I saw it, but the story continues. I saw it around January of 2012, and in May of 2012, I got really sick due to a heart condition called cardiomyopathy and was in congestive heart failure. Still am, but I'm a fighter. LOL. And I have to be put on a ventilator for 2 days because there was so much fluid retention. I was drowning on dry land. They told my mom to call everyone close to me and have them come say goodbye because they didn't expect me to make it. Surprise, I made it. I spent a few days in ICU after being taken off the ventilator. Then I was put in a normal room, and one day I was trying to sleep and I felt this heavy weight push me down into the bed. And in my ear, I hear a deep man's voice say, "He's coming for you." There was no man in the room, just my mom and I. What are y'all's thoughts on this? I have a ton more ghost stories if y'all want to hear them, and I'd love to share them. Y'all are awesome. Ryan.
Such a good ghost mail.
It is. It was a fantastic ghost mail. And all of Ryan's stories that she sent him were always just like equally as fascinating.
Yes.
And still to this very second, the decaying werewolf thing really just boggles my mind.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Because a part of me feels like these are all separate entities in different situations.
Sure.
Just because, you know, decaying werewolf feels more cryptid-like and less, I guess, entity, demonic, malevolent force.
Yeah.
It feels more cryptid. Sure. Like feral raccoon cryptid in the dumpster.
Although the fact that the mother couldn't see it
is very weird.
Brings about, you know, questions of what plane it was operating on and, you know, what purpose it serves, you know, because if, and this is true of like cryptids across the board, is it possible that they're not physical?
Right.
Is it possible that they have a higher spiritual or extra dimensional aspect that keeps them from being perceived by just anyone? Like only certain people can see them. Only certain times are they, present.
Right.
And, you know, given the region, given the ideas, there's a lot of indigenous, you know, beliefs that could give way to this kind of creature. You know, it sounds like a scavenger, you know, the fact that it was
in the dumpster,
you know, in the dumpster and in the shadows and didn't seem aggressive in its behavior as much as it was Disturbing and upsetting.
Disturbing and bizarre that it stayed long enough and you felt like it was, it felt like it was watching her. It, that's weird.
To be seen and to see, you know, the double whammy is there are plenty of times when you can see something, but it can't really perceive you. So it's difficult when you're walking that line, when you're that open. You could conceivably stumble into a nest of things that otherwise wouldn't know that, you know, we were around, you know, are going about their business. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's something here.
But the entity that was around in the house messing with the Pepsi can and wandering the outside, that doesn't feel like decaying werewolf behavior, especially because it sounds like, at least if they were the same entity, it would have come out of the dumpster, but it felt more like happenstance.
You would think.
I think Brian was just one of those people that were the beacon of light in for the different entities or apparitions or whatever have you. Yeah, no, it's like we've talked about that before where it's like some people have just this very bright energy to them where it's like, you know, they're very attractive to different entities. And so it just seems like that at least. But also, it seems like Ryan had a lot of force to her, you know, considering the fact that she got the entity to leave the house. It respected the boundary of being like, oh, okay, heard that. I'm going to just stay outside your window. because not all entities respect boundaries.
No, they don't recognize authority, as it were.
But, you know, it's one of those things too, though. It's like if you have enough faith in whatever it is that you believe in, you know, if you come out, like we've talked about that too, where it's like, if you come out an entity and you're like, get out or I'm going to stab you with this sword. It's like, it's probably going to be like, oh God. Okay.
Yeah. I don't
want to be stabbed with the sword.
Don't want to test the theory. It's like, you can't hurt me or can you?
Can you?
He seems pretty confident.
And so, okay. Yeah, it's just like, but it still seemed like it was intrigued by her. And that's why it continued to stay outside of the window. Because malevolent type entities, I mean, they're going to do other things. If it was malevolent, they're going to do other things than play around with a Pepsi can. So it sounded like
Ryan, just trying to get your attention.
Right. So, it sounded like Ryan was like, get out. And it's like, okay, I'm good. So, but it's still fascinating. Sort of situation. And, you know, I would love to hear, considering that Ryan's sister was there on the night of the Pepsi can incident, I want to know if Ryan's sister had any experiences in that house or the boyfriend at that point, if he also had situations, because that could be very interesting to hear a different perspective of it.
But, her sister became a pair junkie, Shauna. So
yes,
yeah, Shauna, send in some ghost mail. We want to hear more about y'all's stories.
Yeah, Shauna mentioned in the message when she reached out saying that they both had like very deep paranormal experiences their entire lives, and I'm like, very compelling, very interesting. Maybe it runs in the family.
It could be in the blood.
Yeah. So, but yes, hopefully y'all enjoyed Ryan's story. I know we did, and it was interesting to revisit it.
Yeah, so many stories have come across our plate, and we've had to exercise our thoughts on lots of different things, because you come in knowing just what you know, just what you've heard, and then other people are giving testimony to events that happened to them, and you're like, oh, you know what? That kind of expands what we know about this entity or this thing. You know, I'm immediately taken to Hatman, who was a very singular entity in my mind, just based on what I knew. But since we've started this podcast, we've gotten so many instances, so many stories of people who've encountered us, you know, a shadowy spirit with a big hat. So then I'm just trying to figure out what it was that, you know, made the difference in each encounter. It's like, is it all the same entity, or is there something about, you know, being a shadowy figure with a hat that is, you know, really appealing to spirits? Does it add something to it? You know, because for the better part of human history, headgear was very important. People wore hats always and all the time until, you know, the middle of the 20th century when it fell out of vogue to always have a hat.
Yeah.
Which is weird. You know, also when you think, oh, you know, it was only, you know, 60 years ago where a man wouldn't leave the house without his hat. You know, I have a hat rack in my house and it's like, do I need this hat rack? And it's, you know, covered in like costume hats, like, you know, pirate hats and things like that. And it's like, okay, I guess it's okay to have a hat rack, but at one time it was essential. You know, you kept your hat rack right by the door so you could leave. So maybe these spirits are just, you know, haven't caught up with the, you don't need a hat.
Yeah.
When you said there was a time where you couldn't leave without your headgear, I just pictured like the 80s ghosts with their massive headgear, like braces.
Oh, the braces.
Can you imagine if that came into your room at like 3 a.m.
and it's like a glint of the headgear.
It's like choking on its spit. It's like,
I need my retainer.
That's what I pictured, at least when you said that. Which would be funny if you've had a 80s headgear ghost come visit you, let us know. But prior to Invisalign ghosts, right. Clack.
Yeah.
But anyways, so moving on to our next ghost mail. This one comes from, I don't know if they want me to say their name, so another listener.
Just do initials.
LS.
Okay.
So
LS. Ellis. Got it.
Yes. Not the same. We have Ellis's. Listen, not an Ellis, but anyway. So, hello. I recently discovered your podcast and I love it. Although I don't like being scared myself, I'm a big fan of spooky stuff and stories like the ones you tell. I think it is cool I have my own experience like this story, but it really scared me when it happened. Very fair, but... For some background information, this was my first year in high school, and I was in the drama club. A few of the older kids had warned me about this ghost and told me that it would say your name and randomly trip you. That's not very nice.
Mm. The heck?
It's a bully ghost. It's like, an 80s ghost. The 80s bully is like, ha ha, I'll stick the leg out and trip you in the theater. Loser. Anyways. Sorry, I'm in a mood today.
You are in a mood.
Anyways, I didn't really believe it at the time because I knew the kids liked to joke around. I think it was also me telling myself that telling myself that so I wouldn't get scared. So when we started rehearsing our play, we would have set building days. These days would also end with a game of hide and go seek.
Of course.
I mean, what drama department were you in? Because on set building days when I was in theater in high school, they're like, get away from it. There's nails everywhere. You will die. And so maybe that was also just me because they didn't trust me with power tools. So, but one day after the game was over, I was talking to some of the kids and they said they saw clothes moving in the costume room, which was on stage left up some stairs that led to the spotlight, then another room that connected to the booth. That was that will be important later. After hearing that, I told myself that I would not hide in the costume room again or go past it unless I was with someone. Fast forward to the spring musical. During this show, I was working backstage, and I think during one of the shows, could have been Tech Week, one of the characters' microphone's battery dies. The stage manager at the time was doing flies, and she told me to go get a battery from the booth. Me knowing what had happened in the past, I took another girl backstage and had her come with me, also because she had a flashlight. So we go and come back with the battery safely. It wasn't until I was told to take the battery back to the booth, something happened. I didn't want to bother the girl again, so I went alone without the flashlight, which was a mistake.
Oh boy.
I get up there, and it wasn't until I was coming back through the room connected to the booth that something happened. I was nearly to the door when I heard something or someone say, "Run," in a raspy whisper, or, "Run."
Run!
Yeah, there you go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keep it was pitch black in the room, and I did not have a flashlight, so I did, as I reached for the door handle, a fence-like thing that
she's like, heard that,
right?
Done.
So I did, and as I reached for the door handle, a fence-like thing that would hold the spot up almost fell on me. I had opened the door just in time and blocked the fence from falling on me. I slammed the door and then darted down the stairs past the costume room, almost tripping. Once I got backstage, I told the stage manager what happened, and she shrugged her shoulders like, that stuff happens a lot. She's like, it's tech week. Leave it alone. So it was probably a very stressful day.
Chris say something about all theaters being
haunted? All theaters are haunted.
Right.
It's a fact.
It's true. After this was over, I learned that a teacher's funeral was held there, and the teacher had also died while teaching his class. Thank you for reading.
There you go.
I also have many other stories from others that happened after this experience, such as things moving on their own, slamming of doors, and hearing voices. I would love to tell you them if you are interested.
Always interested. Bring it.
Send it.
And theater ghosts are notoriously handsy. They like to move things.
You know, them handsy theater ghosts. Yeah,
handsy theater ghosts.
They tug on you. They'll pull your hair. They'll do things. One of the scariest experiences I had in a theater was at Jenkins Hall at Armstrong, which is now Georgia Southern. And we were in the makeup room in Jenkins Hall. It was like totally bizarre setup in this theater. And we're up in the dressing room putting makeup on. And I was alone in the makeup room, and, you know, there's a big mirror, and then there's costumes hanging behind me, and then above the costumes were wig heads that were wearing, like, hats and wigs and things like that. And I'm putting on makeup, and I look, and I see such a realistic head up on the wig, you know, thing, where all the – there's a row of those styrofoam heads, but one of them is, like, a mannequin head. So I'm looking at him like, that's really weird how lifelike right. it's looking. So I spent a long time looking at it, and then it blinked. And
nope.
The panic inside of me, I just jumped up. I spun around, and all the heads were styrofoam. There was no real head. And I, like, in my head, I'm just, like, losing it. And so I go down and I'm telling people, you know, there's this thing. And they're like, yeah. It was the same thing. It was like, yeah, you know, that dressing room used to be the women's dressing room. But the women decided they were no longer going to go in that. So they switched dressing rooms so that it became the men's dressing room. And it was like, yeah. And people get, you know, pinched and see things and all this stuff. And on that same show, we were playing pranks on each other by hiding a rubber chicken on set. And so we'd hide this rubber chicken all over to mess people up. Like, you know, open the refrigerator and there's a rubber chicken there. Or they, you know, have to get something out of a box and there's a rubber chicken there. Well, one day we came back and we were looking for the rubber chicken. It was in that dressing room. And nobody was like, we don't know. But the rubber chicken had melted.
Whoa.
And when we grabbed it, it like crumbled. And it was like so weird because it wasn't stuck to anything. So even though it had melted and it was like totally deflated, and then it was like had been there for years. Like we picked it up and it just like crumbled into like flakes. And I was like, maybe the ghost doesn't like us playing pranks. Like take theater seriously.
Theater ghosts are very serious. Well, it's interesting because it's like,
that's weird.
I've also had experiences in theaters many, many times. I mean, being a theater person, it's bound to happen. The weirdest one, though, is I was doing a production of, I don't even remember, The Boyfriend. That's what it was. Really garbage musical. But it was a thing. And so I was in the Tarpon Springs Performing Arts Center. If you live in Tarpon Springs, then you should definitely go see the productions. They're always really wonderful. But basically, though, the way the boyfriend is that you have like five female leads, and they're all very crucial to the storyline. So if you don't have one of them, it's very not possible to continue on with the show. So I'm sure many of you are familiar, if you are in the theater community, which I know a lot of you are, with the legend that you don't say a certain Scottish play's name in a theater.
It's great.
Don't say it now because we're in a theater.
I know. Well, I don't say it. Trust me. Well, after you hear this story, you will understand. I don't say it. I take it very seriously. And so during that production, there was a cast member. It was like his first musical ever. Absolute moron of a human being. Basically, he says it because he was like, I heard this legend that, you know, like you don't say this name in a theater. And we're like, don't say it. And he's like, well, what's the worst that could happen? And he says it.
He added to it because mm-hmm. you never say what's the worst that could happen. That's a rule.
So here's the thing, though. He says it. And mind you, it was during tech week and we were all, you know, in the like backstage area, just, you know, like waiting for them to tell us to go stand in our places and stuff. So everybody was there for this. And he says it and we're like, you absolute doofus, go outside. And so the way you're supposed to reverse
dispel it, right?
Yeah, dispel it, if you will. You go outside, they have to turn around three times, curse, spit, and then knock and ask to be let back in. So we do the whole ritual. Here's the thing. Opening night, all five of us leads, I was one of them, we all got the flu and were violently ill the entire opening weekend, to the point where we all still performed. It was horrible, but we were all like taking turns running off stage, just vomiting and then coming back on stage. And it was just like, and I truly believe it's because he said, because how weird, like that we would all just break out with like this bubonic plague practically opening night of the show. And I do think that, you know, that it either was, you know, the curse of the Scottish play, or it was one of the spirits doing the same thing, where it's like, oh, you don't take it seriously, you say, plague upon the leads. It's like,
although show crud is a real thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, it is
a hell week. You run down.
You're in close proximity. It only takes one person to get sick to get everyone sick, especially if you're in like children's theater. Because then it's just like a wave of sickness that just passes through the cast.
Right.
But no, theater ghosts, good Lord, we could write an entire book on theater ghosts. I have so many experiences in theaters. And a lot of them are easily traceable. You oftentimes know who it is because it's a very pointed thing. But as with all ghost stories, some of them leave you hanging. You just don't know who it is. You'll never find out. There's no, you know, you always see people on like ghost hunting shows and they're like at the microfiche and they find the article. That doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really hard get to find the article or the story that really supports what's happening.
Yeah.
Because even the ghosts may forget who they are. You know, even the ghosts over time are like, well, this is just what I do. So I'm going to poke you. This is what I do. I poke people. And
No,
go ahead. No.
Don't we have another theater ghost mail that came in from Ann Ellis?
I think it was photos in a theater. Hold on.
Yeah, but she wrote a message along with it.
I know, but I think it's about the photos. Hold on. Let me pull it up. I think we do.
In today's episode?
It was, you know, we do it all in order.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be in order, but we get just for the fact that we're talking about theater ghosts, let's just move it forward into this episode.
Well, we talk about that a lot, how the ghost mails tend to sync up.
They
and
do.
And mm-hmm. you'll get multiple stories sent in around the same time from completely separate people are all of a sudden like, well, I think it's time to tell this story. And they send it in. It's like, oh, look, we have this whole line of baby ghosts, and we have this whole line of shadow ghosts, and we have this whole line of, it's very interesting.
It is very interesting.
It's Yes. This is actually taken in the Savannah Theater.
Ah, boom, boom, boom.
So there you go. So Ann Ellis said, hey, y'all. Love you guys. Hope you, to see you week of Halloween, as I will be staying in 204 of 1790.
Oh, crap. But it's after Halloween.
We missed it entirely.
It's ghost mail. We don't read the ghost mails immediately.
I'm sorry, Ann.
They stack up. Sorry.
Anyways.
Next time you're in town, Ann, we would absolutely love to see you.
Yes.
100%.
I am sending this picture I took from the Savannah Theater. My husband and I wanted to check it out, so we snuck into the balcony, as one does.
Like her, yes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. There was some singing and dancing on stage that was almost over. I took a bunch of pictures and saw someone sitting there watching the show that was not visible to our eyes. I got 3 pictures and was wondering if any of you have seen this there before. Thanks for your input. So Anne sent in a progressively zooming in photo. hold on. Let me save the photos real quick so I can pull them
y'all
up.
Y'all can take a look into break and insert them.
Yeah. Well, I don't even need to like zoom quite. I know immediately what she's talking about, and I have an idea of who it could be. So
go ahead and describe it for the
hold on
people.
Listen. As we progressively get closer and closer.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So basically, Anne took a photo of like the stage with the spotlight going down onto the stage. Mm-hmm. And what looks like a person sitting underneath the beam from the tech booth with a little bit of a hat to it.
It does look like there's a hat, which is interesting.
So my thoughts are, since it's a Savannah Theater, this is either the director or...
Doesn't he sit up there and watch?
He is noted to be seen sitting, especially in the balcony. And he oftentimes you could hear his voice coming out of the balcony.
Right.
And that is most typically what you see, you know, in the balcony. Countless stories. Oh, my God. Dozens upon dozens and dozens of stories of people running into a man. Sometimes he'll be on the second tier of the balcony. Sometimes he'll be standing there. Sometimes he's easily seen because he has like gold buttons and a red coat. You know, there's so many people have seen this older gentleman up in the balcony.
I want to direct something in the Savannah Theater so I can get his input on things, and it'll be directed by both of us.
So
I'm kind of dope.
I've directed many shows in the Savannah Theater, and the instances that I've had, I've heard him say, "What are you doing?"
Ooh.
I've heard him say, "Bravo."
Okay.
I've heard singular clapping.
Ooh.
Bravo.
And we will run. We used to run up into the balcony because there's a side door that goes up, and we would think that it was like maybe a homeless person had gotten in. And it was not abnormal for like while we're rehearsing someone to come in through the front door, and we would be absolutely clueless that they were in the building, and they would go up, you know, into the balcony, and that would be a perfect place to hide.
Sure.
But I've had many experiences with the director over the years. I worked for that company for like 20 years, so we got many things. And there's a whole arcing story that came to light about the Savannah Theater that we might be able to cover at a different time. I think I might have touched upon it here before, but. We learned the spirits, the separate spirits. There are three that are noteworthy, but there are countless spirits in that theater that are not necessarily the theater-centric ghosts.
But at my first guess, it would probably be the director just because of the fact that he looks like he's seated in a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be Ben.
The boy. The child is also seen in the balcony.
Yeah, he is often seen in the balcony or the tech booth. And so it's possible it could also be him because it's small enough where it doesn't look discernible as like an adult or a child.
Yeah, it's very difficult to make out, really. Although Benjamin oftentimes hides. Yeah, like he's not nearly as visible, and he crawls, which is very
ew.
disturbing. But I think he's playing hide and seek, because when most people, when they if they see him at all, they see him because there's like a gap in the balcony where you go down to get into your seats. So there's a wall, and it looks like he just like darts on his hands and feet. And I think he's just trying to avoid detection. He's trying to avoid people seeing him. But like, most people feel him. He's the hair puller. He likes to hair pull. He likes to tug on things.
Y'all know how I feel about hide and seek ghosts. I don't like that. So,
and it raises a question, because that's an interesting thing, because there's a lot of stories about the hide and seek ghosts. Oftentimes it's children. And the question is, are they playing or are they legitimately trying to keep from being seen by something? Are they hiding from something? Because that was the big story at Savannah Theater, was the sense that there might be something dark and sinister hunting in the theater, looking for children. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe Ben is smart to keep out of sight.
Yeah. Nonetheless, though, very cool photo.
Very cool photo.
And we'll keep your secret safe on this podcast.
Besides broadcasting it.
That you snuck into. No, it's okay. People sneak in there all the time and take photos. They're usually pretty nice about letting people go up into the theater and take photos.
Right, and see the theater. Because the theater is really impressive, you know, given its age.
It is. It's a gorgeous theater. It's very
so cool.
Yeah. So the next one is going to come is also a photo. Y'all came in with the photos this time. This one's
nice.
This one's kind of crazy looking when you see this photo. So it's just titled Two Ghosts.
Two Ghosts.
Two Ghosts.
So this one says, Dear Haunted City Podcast, I had recently come across a photo that my uncle had taken in the early 90s, and in the photo you can see two apparitions. Him and his wife lived in the neighborhood in Lawrenceville, which is in an area in the city of Pittsburgh. The house in the area are the houses in the area are very old row houses. He always thought that his house was haunted. He would often see things out of the corner of his eye and hear noises. Him and his wife decided to set up a camera on the mantle above the fireplace. They started taking pictures, hoping they would get some evidence, and what they captured is truly unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I think it's some of the best evidence of the paranormal I've ever seen.
Wow.
Nice.
In the photo, it's a very good photo.
Oh.
In the photo, you can see my uncle and his wife sitting on the couch, and they are the only two living beings in the photo. Sitting next to them appears to be a man with a hat on. Because since we've already brought up the hat man.
There we go. Opening the hat door.
Standing in the doorway is another man that looks very large. Let me know what you guys think of the photo.
Dang. So
here that is.
Oh, wow.
And who sent it again?
I don't know if they want me to say their name, but you'll see two ghosts as.
Okay. What y'all think?
It's very compelling. Basically, if you look at the photo, they're just perfect outlines of humans. And like you can see some of the features. Like it looks like.
He's definitely wearing a baseball cap.
Right.
I'd say a John Deere, probably.
Do you see it, Jay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do see it.
And then the shadow figure standing in the doorway.
Oh, boy.
I'd almost say he's wearing overalls.
Right.
It's very
fascinating.
Fascinating. And again, whenever you see these pictures, a lot of times in your head, you jump to, well, that's obviously not real.
Yeah. Right.
Your natural propensity is to figure out, well, how would you do that and how is it done? If it's just coming across as – because you can even argue that it might be some kind of weird double negative, especially given that it was like a 1993 picture. Is that right? Is that
what it was in the 90s.
The type of Photoshop that would be required was not really around. You would double negative it, definitely. Yeah.
Which still is a lot of work
those are like full body.
That's right. Full body.
They're full bodied apparitions and very interesting because it's like even though they are transparent for sure, they're very distinguished.
They're distinguished. You can almost make out the face of this person in the hat. I mean, you could almost like
And Homie in the Corner is tall.
Right.
And Homie in the Corner is tall.
So do you is this taken on film, do you think, Jay?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah it is. It's taken on film, and it definitely is, you know, like, if you look at that shoe, the tall guy in the corner, if you look at that shoe looks solid.
It does.
Right.
Absolutely.
That shoe looks super
it's
solid.
It's got a reflection of the light. That specific light, which...
With photos, you know, you kind of got to just take them, you got to, first off, have fun with it. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, expand your imagination. I swear, no one on TikTok, like, we just had a TikTok go viral about the girl in the...
Right, the boxing ring.
I actually have a follow-up that I'll probably read on this episode, too. So stay tuned for that, y'all, on the girl in the boxing ring photo. But, like, I mean, like, 50% of those comments, it's fake, it's Photoshopped. And I'm like, no, it isn't. It is not Photoshopped. Like,
right.
I can tell you
if
right
it's
now,
anything, it's somebody in the ring.
Yeah,
you know, if
right.
anybody, it's somebody
like,
there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know. It's just like, you know, just have fun with it. And it maybe believe a little bit and have some fun with your life.
Well,
instead
I think
of
that's,
going on TikTok and, you know.
That's the one thing about what we're doing is
yeah.
we're making examinations of things that are – unexplainable. Oftentimes people spend entirely too much energy on trying to explain it rather than following the cue of
yeah.
we are interested wow. in something beyond what we can categorize.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time, and it sounds like we're categorizing. It sounds like we're putting them in, we're defining them. We're not defining them. We're expanding our thoughts about them, and they grow, mm-hmm. and it has grown since we started this podcast.
Oh yeah,
what we've thought of different entities and different spirits and different things, it grows because we are talking about it, because we're open about it. If we shut it down and sit in a world where it doesn't exist at all, or we spend time looking at pictures and picking them apart for whatever we think one way or the other, whether we, you know, go all in on, well, this is obviously real, or all in and, well, this is obviously fake.
Yeah.
The problem is we're not honoring the idea that came across when we started this podcast, which is create a safe space to discuss things that oftentimes people are ridiculed for.
Yeah. Right.
You know, too many people spend their lives not telling
Amen.
Stories about what happened to them because they've been met with such resistance, because
mm-hmm. yes.
they're afraid of being called crazy. They're afraid of being, you know, singled out for their experience. And it's like, no, we want to create a space where we're not in the judgment business.
Right.
We don't want to sit there and say, you know, well, this is obviously a fake, or that story is not true, or anything of that nature, because we know what it's like.
Yeah.
We
very
have been
much so.
The people who don't tell that story, who have, you know, because anybody who has a lot of supernatural or paranormal occurrences have the group of friends that they'll never tell, the group of friends that they'll mm-hmm. tell some, and the group of friends that they'll tell everything.
Yes.
You have to segregate your friends, because it's like, these people will never accept it.
Yep.
And it will alter how they behave around me.
Yep.
And so when you think that that's how you live your life, by segregating the people you know into two categories, people who will treat you poorly for your beliefs and people who will accept you for what you believe, then, you know, that's kind of what's happening in this
yeah.
realm, in the realm of paranormal experiences.
That's it.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this podcast, I know it's not you guys that are being absolute
right.
bullies on TikTok, but be kind to one another when people have, when people share their experiences and things like that. And we fully recognize that, you know, when we talk about things like that and we put it on TikTok or what have you, we're challenging people's mm-hmm. beliefs. And sometimes people have very adverse reactions
oh,
to
absolutely.
When that happens.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
but you know, if somebody tells you a story that, you know, or shows you a photo and you're not necessarily 100% on the train that it's true or believable, be nice. Just be nice.
Yeah, and know? There's absolutely nothing wrong with not believing. Absolutely nothing wrong with determining for yourself or being that it's when it's cruel.
Yeah, it's when it's cruel.
It's when it's mean-spirited,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, because people mm-hmm. oftentimes mistake knowledge for a weapon. and they decide that it's a cudgel and they need to beat people down with it. The problem with knowledge is it can be very subjective. What you know may not apply to all situations. So when you're out there swinging your knowledge cudgel, beating people down, sometimes you are hitting people who actually know more than you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, going back to that photo, though, that photo is I love it. I think it's a great photo. Creepy,
and it's intense. And if I came across it, I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
You know, if this was like in my family photo album, I'd be like, what is that?
Yes.
You know, because it is the kind of thing that that spurs the conversation. What is it? Do you believe it? What's happening?
I believe it. And I love your uncle and aunt for setting up a camera and being like, I've seen some spirits in here. Yeah. They're from Pittsburgh. They don't have that accent. Like, but it's like,
what part of Pittsburgh are you?
I don't know where that. I always go to the country accent when I think of older people. I don't know why.
But as you age, you become more country. Yes. That's just a fact.
But yeah. They're like, I've seen some shadow spirits in this house. Let's have fun. And that's my type of people. I like it. So
we do have a follow-up on Ben's story. He sent me just some more information. I'm actually going to include that in the next episode.
Okay.
We are running out of time.
Alrighty.
So yeah.
All right, Ben. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And yes, like we said, remember, be kind to each other, share your stories, send in your ghost mail. We love reading it. But with that, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.